Catholic commentary. You're returning in service. 21-22. Spiritual warfare.
AOM's clear, see no fear.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
There I can have.
Jesus 911.
You got it. This is a holy hour of power that Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. A lot of things you want to talk about today with Paul. Paul, are you there, my friend? Mr. Paul, are you there? Also,
yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Perfect.
All
we're also waiting for, we're trying to get a hold of Father Dave Nix. He's over in the island of Patmos, right across the world, and we want to get kind of an update on Israel, Hamas, talk about Islam and the election. So there's a lot we want to talk to him about today, Paul.
I hope he's not in exile over there, Jess. Patmos Island.
Yeah. Before he comes on and until he comes on, I have a lot to say about this topic as well. Islam and Judaism.
Yes.
So Paul, go ahead.
No, I was just going to throw it out there, Jess. You know, it's kind of funny. I run into a lot of people, people of color, I'll say, who want to convince me that, you know, the current occupiers in Israel, they're not Israel. And, you know, like the black Hebrew Israelites, you know,
yes,
they're the true Jews.
Right.
And the thing is who, you know, nobody cares about, you know, what does sacred scripture tell us? In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, but we are all one in Christ. It is Christ who unites us. And it is it's the spiritual bond that is so, so much more than the fleshly bond.
Yeah. Amen. And so many people just get caught up on nationalism and ethnicity.
Yes. Ethnocentric ideology. Yeah.
And they're missing the whole point.
Mm.
So here's my take on what's happening in the Middle East. Now we know that that Iran is lobbying drones over in Israel's direction. So now we have a potential third war. Not only do we have the Ukraine war, we have the Hamas-Israel war. Now we have Iran that's injecting themselves in this, in what could possibly be the precipitations of World War III.
Mm.
So, I mean, there are spiritual answers to this, or
yes,
there are political answers to it. Let me give some of the spiritual, then we'll go into some of the political. Now,
all right.
What I would say is that Israel is a small country. It's about the size of New Jersey. It's a mm-hmm. land bridge that connects three continents. It connects Asia, Africa, and Europe. So if you analyze Israel, it's a nation. It was also an Old Testament people. They call themselves the Israelites. So it's a tiny piece of real estate. And two-thirds of the land is basically desert. It's mm-hmm. about 9 miles wide. I mean, you can walk across it in one day. It probably has about 6 million people that live there called Jews. And about a million Arabs also live there. The rest of the Middle East is pretty much Arab. About 220 million Arabs in the other countries that surround it. And one of the things that we can say about this piece of real estate, well, this is where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came from. Yeah. This is where the Messiah came from. And all you have to do is read the genealogies of Matthew and Luke, and you'll see that Jesus Christ comes from the line of Judah, and he comes from the Israelites. He's
the house of David.
Yeah, the house of David. This is his lineage.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we got Father Dave Nix on. Father, welcome to the show. Father, we can't hear you. Are you there?
No. Not yet.
Okay. All right. We'll continue until.
Wait. I think I heard him.
Father Dave, are you there? from the island of Patmos. Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure he'll hear us and he'll jump in.
Yeah, Jess. So as you were talking, I'm just imagining such a small little plot of land, yet such a pivotal role in today's news and what's going on today in the world.
Yes. And I'll tell you why there's always been a problem in that land is because both the Jews and both the Muslims reject Jesus.
Oh, say it again.
When you reject Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of the human race, as the Messiah, as the Prince of Peace, because that's what he comes to do is bring, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5, there will never be peace in the Middle East, even in the Holy Land, so long as the Jews and so long as the Muslims continue to reject Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace.
Yes,
That's why we have the problems that we have over there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The minute that the Jews rejected their Messiah, they fell under the curse of the covenant. And they've been under that curse ever since. Because why? Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. There is no other way outside of him. And then, of course, you know, Islam being a world religion and all these, you know, again, Jess, let's look at religion in itself. It goes all the way back to Cain, the religion of Cain, where God told them what was required. Abel gives God what is required. Cain gives God what he chooses to give God, what he feels is acceptable. And that's, you can just melt all the religions of the world down to that. And they approach God or the gods in some cases as they feel is right in their own mind. And this is the fatal error that they all make.
Absolutely. Hey, Richard, let me know when Father Dave Nix joins in. Just let me know. Yeah. So, and Paul, and I'll tell you, for such a small country, this seems to be, it's a powder keg. And this seems to be basically the apex, the center of everything. And I'll, something interesting about the land of Israel, the tradition, the Catholic, ancient Catholic tradition and the Jewish tradition is that from Mount Calvary, that's used to be the Garden of Eden. And underneath the cross of Christ, where Christ was crucified on Mount Calvary, right underneath that, the tradition, the Catholic tradition for the fathers of the church and the Jews, is that the tomb of the first man, Adam, is there, where the cross was planted over the tomb of Adam. But
Father's on, Jess.
Father Dave, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey.
Father, you're on here with myself and Paul Clay. We can hear you perfectly.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good.
Doing well, Father. We were worried about you over there on Patmos. Thought you were in exile.
Have I done anything worth exile?
not in our book.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, talk to us about what's going on over in where you're at in Patmos. Tell us a little bit about. Give us your thoughts on Israel, Islam, what's going on here. The war in Hamas, the war in Israel, and then also tell us about your take about the fact that Iran is jumping in now, which makes things it's just escalating things, making things worse. My take is, Father, real quick, is that so long as the Jews and so long as Islam, the Muslims, reject Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, as Isaiah the prophet calls him in chapter 9, verse 6, you're never. The Middle East is never going to have national peace as long as they reject the Messiah, the Son of God. And they're never going to have internal peace as well, because that internal peace in the interiority of the heart comes from knowing Christ. And this is why that state of the world right now, it's a flashpoint. It's even a flashpoint right now for World War III. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, Jess, that's exactly what you and I said when you and I got caught in Israel. If you remember the video that we made from Jordan, we got bussed from Israel to Jordan. We landed. We were in the last flights in, I think, October when this conflict first kicked off again. And you and I said the same thing on that video, that Christ is the only Prince of Peace. He's not a Prince of Peace. He's the only Prince of Peace for the entire world. And I am not anti-Jewish as some people think of traditional Catholics. Whether rightly or wrongly, that's how they see traditional Catholics, as anti-Jewish. It's going to be important today that we look at Romans 9 through 11, Romans 9, 10, and 11, to essentially see that we can lose the faith too as Christians. I mean, that's where St. Paul says to Catholics, don't get arrogant, because you can get taken off to this branch, this olive branch, just as the Jews were. So we can't sit on our laurels. It's a very clear admonition against once saved, always saved, by the way. And I think you and I have talked about the heresy of Pelagianism before, Jesse. That's probably one of the biggest heresies in the minds of most Western modernist Catholics. And it basically goes like this in modern terms. If you're a pretty good person, you can go to heaven. Now, you and I know you can be a really, really good person, but without grace, you can't get to heaven. And St. Thomas Aquinas explains it very beautifully. It's not in a scary way at all. He says very beautifully, because heaven is a supernatural goal, natural goodness isn't sufficient to get there. You have to have supernatural goodness, which only comes through grace. And so this is where we might meet really good Jews and really good Muslims. Without grace, they can't get to heaven.
Hold that thought, Father. We'll be right back. Jess Romero, Paul Clay, Father Dave Nix from the island of Patmos. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, Father Dave Nix from the island of Patmos.
Yes, sir.
He's not, don't worry, Father's not adding anything to the book of Revelation. He's just reporting it.
Father's not adding to add back from this book. What does it say in that book? There's punishments for anyone.
That's right.
Father,
right?
Before the break, Father, you were mentioning this Pelagian or semi-Pelagian view that just appeals to the nature of man, that there's something that we add to all of this, that it's, so when we see somebody and they're good people, yeah, we want good people to go to heaven. But you mentioned that it can only be achieved by God's supernatural grace. And that is so important. I think you just put your finger right on the pulse that what Christ did. So you talked about how traditional Catholics can be accused of being anti-Semitic, but in reality, no. Sacred Scripture tells us, look, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free. We're all one, and there's only one way to come and approach God, and that is basically through the religion, same way, not the religion of Cain, but the religion of Abel.
That's
give
right.
God what God requires, which is
that's right.
God.
Yeah, there's only one door that gets to heaven, John 10:7, and that door says Jesus. Yes. And Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and everybody else, in some way, shape, or form, they have to enter through that door. How that happens, I don't know how it's going to happen above my pay grade, but that's the way you get to heaven.
Amen.
Father, continue talking about,
Oh, real quick, we know in the Bible and St. Thomas Aquinas, this is the other reason we traditional Catholics don't want to be jerks to Jews, is because we know there's going to be a massive, massive influx of them into the Catholic Church at the end of time. So, we should be charitable to everybody, but especially when we have all these signs that we could be in the end times. I don't know if we are, but we certainly seem to be checking off the list of Matthew 24 pretty rapidly in issues of church and state right now. And so, because we know from the Bible, St. Thomas Aquinas, the fathers, that a huge percentage of Jews are going to get baptized into the Catholic Church. Hey, let's be nice to them, And there's a lot of good news out there, too. I ran into a Greek Orthodox priest younger than me in the Athens airport not too long ago. Now, he was raised Coptic. He's of Egyptian blood, but he became a Greek Orthodox priest. And he spoke pretty good English. I put this on Facebook, and he actually had read Malachi Martin, if you can believe it. He was asking me about Malachi Martin.
Wow.
Yep. And so we obviously hit it off pretty quickly. And I said, I've heard a lot of Muslims, many, many Muslims are becoming Christian. He said, oh, of course. He looked at me like, duh, of course that's happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Father, I read from an Al Jazeera newspaper, and I think I saved it in my computer here. It says that on the average, and we just don't know about this because they keep it quiet, but Al Jazeera reported that about 6 million Muslims convert either to Catholic or Orthodox Christianity a year. 6 million. Of course, you know, they're not making any noise or, you know, blowing bells and whistles and having any fanfare or parties because you'll be killed. But the fact is, you know, just the natural law, when a Muslim just encounters the real Jesus from the New Testament and sees the temperance, the holiness, the beauty, the goodness, the power of his name, of his word, it's compelling. Yes. And these
That's
Muslims
right.
are coming in by the busloads.
And see, this is the thing. This isn't, I think, way too many modernist Catholics, they picture it as, okay, let's pretend the church is an ocean liner, right? And most modernist Catholics frame it like Jesus is walking the circumference of the ocean liner, checking tickets, and if you're not in the Catholic club, you're getting thrown overboard. Okay, here's why that analogy is wrong. We are all in the drink. We are all in the ocean. Due to original sin, we are all separated from God, and Jesus is throwing each one of us a life preserver. We're no better, you know, at the moment of our birth before baptism, we're no better than someone born into a Muslim family or a Jewish family or whatever. But baptism, as St. Peter writes in the Bible, it is baptism that now saves you. That is thrown to us, and then we maintain the ability to cooperate with that grace through the magisterium of the Catholic Church. And so when we're throwing that life preserver, in fact, here in Greece, it's very interesting. The word life preserver in Greek, in modern Greek, I just noticed this being on boats out here, is sosibio. And sosi means say bio, that's the basis of our English word biology. Sosi is the basis of our English word soteriology. It literally means savior. So it's actually calling, when we talk about soteriology, that's the study of salvation. In modern Greek, not ancient Greek, even in modern Greek, that has the same root word as rescue. Isn't that interesting? I just noticed, I wasn't even planning on talking about this on your guys' show. But it has, in other words, life preserver in modern Greek has the same cognate as soteriology. Okay, so Jesus is throwing us these life preservers, and we should be excited about this in showing us this isn't about us finger wagging, you Muslims and Jews aren't going to heaven. It is the good news of the gospel. It is that Jesus Christ is here to save you if you want it. Salvation is for the taking. That's the basic message.
Yes,
salvation
Father.
Is for the taking.
Yes, Father. I like the way G.K. Chesterton puts it. He says, we're all in the same boat and we're all seasick. You know,
yeah.
but like you said, Christ has essentially leveled the playing field, and we all have equal opportunity because redemption was for the world, not
That's right.
It was for the human race.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, this is where all of us are involved in church reform now, because if the boat is the Catholic Church, and we got crazy people in the captain's deck right now, this is where this is why we have a twofold job. We got to be throwing, you know, because people like you and me, Jesse, 20 years ago were only in evangelization. And I don't think Jesse would mind me saying this to you, but when, you know, Jesse or when Ruben had talked to you about the Latin Mass, I'd say, Ruben, don't major in the minors.
Yeah, and I used to tell him that.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing 20 years ago, where now it's interesting because we're trying to throw life preservers, but we also have to be involved in church reform to make it clear that the there's certain people who appear to be in charge who don't represent Christ's universal salvific mission to the world.
Yeah, we have a lot of, Father, I would say we have a lot of Ahaz and Manassas right now. We just like the Old Testament, most of their kings, most of their rulers were wicked. We just happen to have Manassas and Ahaz's right now. Here's something I want to talk to both of you guys about the prophecies of the Messiah. The Jews believe in the Messiah, but I think here's the Jewish problem, and you guys I want to get your take on this. Now, he came the first time as a suffering servant, and the second time he's going to come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the way I see it, the Jews misunderstand the Old Testament prophecies relating to the first and second coming of the Messiah, because many messianic prophecies were fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. However, other messianic prophecies that were not fulfilled at Jesus' first coming, and I think the key to understanding this is that when you realize the Old Testament prophets did not realize that there was a time gap between the first and second coming of the Messiah. They didn't write about a time gap in Scripture. They just kind of conflated both of them together. And so the Jews today, they'll say, well, he was not, you know, he's not this warrior king that came to break the chains of, you know, Roman bondage. He's not this earthly warlord like the King David type of Messiah. So they've dismissed his claims because, again, to me, they misunderstand that they don't realize that there would be a time gap between the first and the second coming of the Messiah. Your take, Father?
Yeah, I don't know what a lot of modern Jews are expecting in their Messiah. I think one of the dangerous things that we're approaching, and you know, I think our topic today is dispensationalism, and it's fine if we don't get to it, but one of the problems in this is we know with all of this discussion of this red heifer, you know, people probably see the news. There's this red heifer. There's rumors that the temple's going to be rebuilt, that there's going to be sacrifices. And you have a lot of evangelical Christians in the United States excited about this. The problem, guys, is the church fathers say the Antichrist is going to rebuild the temple, Amen. Not the good guy. The Antichrist is. So this is where we're approaching, where we really have to recognize that Christianity for 1,500 years, like think of that's a really, 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 really long time before Protestantism. And then it was 18 centuries before dispensationalism was even on the playing field of any Christian than the way that they thought of eschatology. Dispensationalism came around the 1830s. So this notion that Israel had to be rebuilt is a very, 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 very new idea. Even for Protestants, actually. Yes. So this notion, oh, let's get excited. A red heifer was born and they're going to rebuild the temple. Eek, let's look at the church fathers. They're saying the Antichrist is going to rebuild the temple. So we got to pump the brakes and say, hey, we're not looking for the same guy. Christians are not looking for the same guy as Jews right now.
Yes, Father.
They shouldn't be, at least.
Father, there was this this one church father that actually said, I think back in the 4th century, I think it was St. John Chrysostom, yeah. He said that when they tried to rebuild the temple, back in the early church, and fire, as they were trying to rebuild the temple, and they're picking up the boulders, fire came out from under the rocks and was burning the builders, and they had to stop. Basically, God had spoken, you're not rebuilding the temple, and God made sure that fire would come out from the ground every single time they picked up a stone. St. John Chrysostom tells us that story.
When the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom, I think that was the definitive statement that God made. Basically, the Jewish religion was rendered obsolete at that point. And obviously, the reality and the fulfillment is far greater than the type and the shadow that Judaism represented.
That's right, Paul. And I mean, the word obsolete is very politically incorrect. I think I'm 45 years old. Nobody says politically incorrect anymore. I guess I should say you're unwoke. I mean, I don't know. But let's talk about that word obsolete, because you're absolutely correct. But there's a lot of Catholics that don't get that. I mean, even me in seminary, who was pretty conservative, but not a traditionalist at that point, I thought that the tearing of the veil basically led us to believe that Catholicism was the super true religion, and then Judaism became the sub true religion. Basically, we were fulfilled Jews and they're not fulfilled Jews yet. But if you look at Romans 9 through 11, there's only one straight line. There's only one olive branch. And so what that means in the year 2000 BC, so we have to see this from God's point of view, not man's point of view. In the year 2000 BC, there's only one true religion on the planet, and that is Judaism. In the year 1500 BC, there's only one true religion on the planet. That's Judaism. BC. 1000 BC, it's Judaism. 500 BC, it's Judaism.
Hold that thought, Father. Teaser, hold that thought. We'll be right back with Father Dave.
You got it.
He's in the island of Patmos. He's out there doing apostolic work. The man never ceases to amaze me. We'll be right back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, three-man car, Father Dave Nix, and Paul Klein, Jess Romero. Paul, by the way, Father Dave Nix is also a former first responder, so he fits well into the show. He was a paramedic over in Denver, Colorado, so he definitely fits into the Jesus 911 modality here. Absolutely. Father, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can see you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I switched to the computer. Finally got the right app on that.
Okay, Father, so dispensationalism is it's a modern theological system from within Protestantism. They take more of a literal view of a lot of the verses, especially in the book of Revelation, like the thousand-year reign of Christ. And this is why they're always raising money, especially through the TBN channel, for Israel. Because they figure if they rebuild the temple, this is going to precipitate the second coming of Christ and the thousand-year reign of an earthly government with Jesus Christ as the head. And so go ahead and as you were talking about dispensationalism, continue on what you were talking about.
So in the year 500 BC, the one true religion in the world was Judaism. 300 BC, Judaism. 100 BC was Judaism. How about the year 5 AD? It's Catholicism, whether that be Ethiopian Catholicism, Roman Catholicism, Byzantine Catholicism. What was the one true world religion in the year 100 AD? Catholicism. 500 AD, Catholicism. There's no lesser lights, like a certain bishop out there says, right? In fact, John 1 says that Christ is the light that enlightens every man on the planet, even through natural law, even before divine revelation. There's no such thing as lesser lights. There's only one light of the world, and that is Christ, right? Okay. So dispensationalism, it's a very interesting heresy. What I find so fascinating about the dispensationalist heresy is it's so new on the scene that, you know, most of your listeners know that Protestantism is 500 years old. This heresy started in the 1830s with a guy named John Darby. And basically his teaching was God's original plan was Israel. God's original plan was the Jews. Now, we as Catholics, Paul alluded to this by mentioning the Old Testament is the shadow and the type, and it's fulfilled in Christ, right? Matthew chapter 5:17. Jesus himself says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Matthew 5:17. And so the fulfillment of the old law is the new law, which is Christ and the Catholic Church. But for John Darby and his friends, their teaching was God's plan was always Judaism. But then he had this kind of plan B concessionary idea that he's going to kick part of the truth to the nations, namely Christianity. But at the end of time, he's going to revert to plan A. He's going to get rid of plan B, which is Christianity. He's going to revert back to plan A, which is Judaism and Israel. And another problem is the dispensationalists, they can't make a delineation between the Israel of the Old Testament and the Israel that began in 1948 in Israel. So when they read the Bible and there's all these things about Israel in the Old Testament, they get really excited because they think this is the same thing as the state that was established in 1948. So what happens is in the 1830s, 1840s, 1850s, it ends up dying down. People aren't too excited about dispensationalism. But what happens in the 1950s in the United States is this gets resuscitated. American Protestants look at the establishment of the state of Israel, and then they dig up Darby, and they're like, this is perfect. This seems to be what's happening. We Christians are going to get placed where we should be, which is place slot B. Maybe this worked for a little while to have this concessionary revelation of Christ priest to the nations, but ultimately Jews equal God's people equals Israel.
And we have to reestablish this. We have to keep this state of Israel that's established, and we have to make sure it has strong military power for Christ to return. And this is the basis of all those Left Behind movies with Kirk Cameron. You know, and Kirk Cameron does some really good work on the same social topics that we're all on. But you would think someone as smart as him would realize that this was an idea that came about in 18. We're not even talking like late church fathers or even like early Protestant heresy. This is really late Protestant heresy.
Nothing new under the sun, Father. That's what Solomon said.
That's true, actually. Yeah, there.
But Father, but I got to tell you, it's interesting that you say that, what you just said, because I'm a revert. I left the church for quite a while as a Protestant, and I can remember being being a practicing Protestant, feeling jealous that I wasn't one of God's chosen people. This is how they present the gospel in such a way where you truly do feel like I'm second fiddle here. I mean, God has His special people. And for these Christian Zionists that promote this gospel, nothing could be further from the truth. As you know, Father, the New Testament tells us that the church is the Israel of God.
That's right. That's right. And sometime, you know, in seminary, we learned to say it's the new Israel. And that's fine, because there is, you know, the book of the Apocalypse talks about the new Jerusalem. But the problem in only saying the new Israel is it kind of keeps in our back pocket the notion that there is also the old Israel that has all these claims on things. But Paul doesn't actually use the word in Galatians, new Israel. He just says church is the Israel.
Israel, right? Of God. He says the Israel of God. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Absolutely. And Paul, it's interesting. You had a real mild correction to me. There's nothing new under the sun. It's funny you say that, because here on the island of Patmos, where St. John was exiled, it turns out one of the heretics that he stood against, I don't think this was on Patmos, but I think it was before he got exiled here, there was a very not so well-known heretic these days, but his name was Cerinthius. And Cerinthius taught a thousand-year reign. This is the heresy of millennialism.
Oh,
and this was already in the first century. And so what happened is, if you look in the accounts of all the heresies of all the centuries written by St. Alphonsus Liguori. So this is a doctor of the church. This isn't just, you know, me digging up devotional stuff. A doctor of the church listed all the heresies. And in his whole section on first century heresies, Cerinthus or Cerinthius, however you say his name, he was teaching Christ was not divine. He believed in a thousand-year earthly reign, much like dispensationalists do. And get this, guys. John ran into him. I don't know if this was in modern day Turkey or modern day Israel or modern day Greece, but he ran into him at what St. Alphonsus Liguori calls a bath. But this doesn't mean they were sharing like the same bathtub, of course, right? This was more like probably an ancient gym, like almost a bathroom to a gymnasium, right?
Yeah.
He runs in and he says, and St. John says, "Let us flee lest the walls fall down upon us." And so John, he wouldn't even be in the presence of a heretic like that. Wow. And he left, and actually all the walls fell on him and killed him right there. On the heretic, it fell on Cerinthius, the heretic. So even though I'd made a video on this that I just put out about an hour ago, even though John was the apostle of love, everything he talks about is supernatural charity. Part of supernatural charity is heavily fighting heresies like this, including millennialism, right? So we can't say love has nothing to do with fighting heresies, because that's exactly what he did. And like, just like Paul said, nothing new under the sun. Millennialism is part of dispensationalism that John, who was on this island, was fighting 2,000 years ago.
Yep. It just gets stronger and stronger. It gets recapitulated, these errors. And so now it's, you could say, millennialism par excellence as compared to it was back then.
That's right.
Yeah.
Father, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ has some pretty strong words to say to unbelieving Jews. I mean, the ones that rejected him. There's a verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, where our Lord says, "Behold, I will bring of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and adore before thy feet, and they shall know that I have loved thee." So he calls the unbelieving Jews the synagogue of Satan. When I look at things that are happening around the world, and I say, the synagogue of Satan. Here's something interesting. Talk about the synagogue of Satan is that most of the Hollywood producers and directors, it's run by Jews. Just all you have to do is look at the last names. In fact, even recently, an actress actually said this. Juliana Margulies, she's an Emmy winning actress, pretty outspoken. And she said on October 7th of last year, she says, quote, "By the way, all of our great material on television is pretty much from the Jews." And all you got to do is, I mean, I have a whole Word file here. When you look at the last names of who controls Hollywood, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Walt Disney, Paramount, Warner Brothers, Paramount Global, Netflix, Apple, Comcast Corporation, Happy Madison Productions. You look at the last names, they're Jewish owners. And what I'm saying is that in my mind, I've made a connection. The people that Jesus Christ, he railed against were basically the money changers in the temple. What we would call today, I mean, bankers. I'm looking here at another article here by the Jerusalem Post. It says, the most influential Jews in finance, economics, and business, the 50 most influential Jews, another one called, another article, The Money Kings, The Profound Legacy of America's Jewish Banking Dynasties. These articles that I have here basically say that the Jewish bankers, Jewish immigrants who came to the U.S., they're the ones that helped build not only America's modern economic system, but the worldwide banking system. And so for being a small portion of society, they're only a fraction of 1%. They have an inordinate amount of influence in banking, in media, in big tech. And most of them, we're talking about unbelieving Jews. We're not talking about Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. We're talking about Jews that reject Jesus. To me, that's the synagogue of Satan that our Lord is referring to, in my opinion. Your take?
I tend to think the synagogue of Satan, as we look at what's happening in the world right now, is probably globalism. And I want to come back to that in a minute. It is interesting that in John chapter 8, when there's this discussion of, you know, this is where John chapter 8 is the chapter where Christ says, before Abraham came to be, I am. And what happens is they claim to have Abraham as their father. And guess who Jesus says? He says, Satan is your father. The devil is
exactly
your father, right?
Hold that thought, and Father. That's a good teaser. We're here talking with Father Dave Nix. He's over across the world in the island of Patmos. He's going to break down John chapter 8, verse 44 for us. We'll be right back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus Christ is King, and that's not anti-Semitic. We proclaim the social kingship of Christ in season and out of season. We're here with Father David Nix. He's across the world over in the island of Patmos. Father, you were talking about John chapter 8 and Jesus' conversation with the Jewish establishment of his day.
Yes, so he says in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. So Christ says to those who reject him, you are of your father the devil. Now, this is right after they say that Abraham is our father, right? So this is where it's erroneous for Catholics to even use the term Abrahamic religions, because here's the thing.
Yes.
There's only one Abrahamic religion, and it's Christianity. It's Catholicism. We have to get it out of our mind. And because again, this isn't my belief. Jesus just said that anyone who diverts from him has the devil as their father. That's our Lord's words, not yes. mine. So there's only one Abrahamic religion, and it is Christianity. It is Catholicism. And so now the only way I might be a little bit different from you there, Jesse, and this is where I'm one of those Catholics who's sort of seen as
No, I'm with you, Father. Your argument was brilliant. I'm looking at the verse right now, and your exegesis is spot on. There's nothing. You just taught me something. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
now,
that.
Now, this might be a little bit too spicy for your guys' show, but probably not since we're all in the same. I'm going to read you right now from, this isn't from a traditional Catholic website. This is from VaticanNews.va. I know you guys know about this. This is from VaticanNews.va. This is Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi to open in 2022. Oh, yeah. And it reads, the Abrahamic Family House, which encloses a synagogue, a church, and a mosque in a single complex, and which is scheduled to be inaugurated in 2022, is 20% complete. This was a few years ago. But anyway, you know what the story is. And the subtitle of this story, again, Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi to open in 2022. The subtitle of this is the cultural landmark in the United Arab Emirates capital, which includes a synagogue, a church, and a mosque, is meant to be a beacon of understanding and peaceful coexistence inspired by the document on human fraternity. So one of the reasons I'm like one of the least anti-Jewish trads out there is because I see the Vatican and the bishops of the world being the globalists. And I think the synagogue of Satan right now is globalism. So anybody using this term Abrahamic religion, building up, say, the family house in Abu Dhabi, I see this as just building up the synagogue of Satan. And the fact, this is why I can't be very anti-Jewish, because I see our woke hierarchy participating in this whole thing at much higher rates than the numbers of Jews in the world, to tell you the truth.
Father, you make an excellent, excellent point.
Absolutely.
It's like the Tower of Babel, 2.0. Where they attempt to try to gather the world together, and this religion of the Antichrist then is it involves multiple there are multiple facets to this thing, and as it's rising up, that is truly going to be the synagogue of Satan, for lack of a better word, par excellence at that point. Go ahead, Father.
Really? That's how I see it. I mean, we're all friends with Taylor Marshall. He's a great friend of mine. We agree on 99%. One of the only things I think we disagree on is, and I'll admit he does have the majority of the church fathers in his back on this. I only have the minority of church fathers, but the majority say that the Antichrist is going to rule from Jerusalem, but the minority say from Rome. And Taylor sides with the majority of the church fathers saying the Antichrist is going to rule from Jerusalem. I side with the minority of the church fathers saying it's going to be from Rome. So I don't know, it's not definite. There's a divide among the church fathers.
Yeah, well, Father, I'll tell you this, even one with God is a majority, and the majority yes. has seemingly got it wrong throughout history. So I think you're on solid ground when you're on that narrow path there.
And phrase in Spanish, Jesse? It's like Dios y yo mayoría aplastante. God and me is a crushing majority.
Yeah.
A Puerto Rican told me the phrase. It might be a Puerto Rican phrase.
Mayoría. Good job.
Mayoría aplastante.
Father, let me ask you a question about what you just said about John chapter 8, verse 44. I'm looking at that verse, and you're absolutely right. When you look at that verse, you can't use the term Abrahamic religions anymore once you understand that verse, because there's you're right. I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, he's absolutely right.
And that's right after they say Abraham's our father.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's an attempt to try to gather.
Just scroll up a few verses on John 8 there.
Yeah. Yes. It's an attempt to, it's a Masonic idea, right? Where the sons of the first Adam are all united together, which is, or like when sacred scripture says that God has called his people through Isaac, the son of promise, versus Ishmael, the son of the slave.
Yeah. Now, let me give another reason we don't want to be arrogant here. This is from Romans chapter 11. And so remember how earlier I was saying there's not like the super fulfilled religion, which is Catholicism, and the subpar fulfilled religion or not fulfilled, but awesome religion, Judaism. Now, there's only one branch there's only one tree. And before the veil was torn, that one tree is Judaism. And after that one tree is Catholicism. But Paul is very cautious to us to not become arrogant about this, because here's how he says that, even though the Jews were cut off and the Gentiles got grafted on, we can also, through our own unfaithfulness, get cut off. So this isn't saying we're some card-carrying member of the Catholic Church, so we can sit on our laurels and everyone else is going to hell. This is what Paul says, Romans 11, verses 17, 40. He said, but if some of the branches were broken off, he means the Jews, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Let me pause real quick there. So what he's saying is you're new to the one world religion that's true. And these guys are rejecting it because they're rejecting the Messiah, who is God. See, Jesus isn't just the Son of God. He's also God. So if you're rejecting God, you can't actually have like lesser lights. You're rejecting God himself, right? But he's saying to them, you're new, but remember that the root supports you. In other words, you need to know the Old Testament. Many Catholics quote St. Jerome all the time saying ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ. But he wrote that on Isaiah, meaning he was writing about the Old Testament. In other words, the Old Testament is knowledge of Christ. Okay, so then he says, then you will say branches were broken off so that I might be grafted on. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. Do not become proud, but fear. And so this is where I'm always hesitant of traditional Catholics becoming too anti-Jewish, because he's saying right there, you can fall if you let your arrogance go to your head on this whole thing. For if God cannot spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you.
Yes, Father, I like it when Jesus said, you search the scriptures and thinking that in them you have eternal life, and it is them that testify of me. You see, it has always been about Christ from the very beginning. And the only problem is that the Jews, when they reject the covenant of God, they fell under that curse. And so the whole world was under a curse prior to that, in the sense that we were excluded from Am Yahweh, from the people of God. But now Christ has leveled that playing field, and we all have to come the same way. There's no pride in that. We're all in the same boat, and we're all seasick.
Did we lose Jesse?
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, well, I got some things to say on that. I mean, this is where the modernist Catholic idea of ecumenism, you know, like, let me give an example. I was in Island of Kos yesterday, and I looked at an Orthodox, Greek Orthodox church, and it said, Ecumenikos Patriarchos to Kou Kosu, which is the home, the residence of the Patriarch of Kos. So the word ecumenical comes from the whole house. But in the first 1,000 years of Christianity, get this, everybody, if anyone, hopefully everyone's still listening, even though Jesse isn't here. The first 1,000 years of Christianity, the word ecumenical means the whole house of Orthodox believers of bishops had nothing to do with people of other religions. That's only right. In the past 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years did this term ecumenical start to include dialogue with other religions. Maybe that's kind of okay if that dialogue leads to evangelization, but it still has nothing to do with the word ecumenical, which means whole house, whole container of the Orthodox bishops getting together and talking. But now ecumenical is really tantamount to nothing except the heresy of indifferentism. The heresy of indifferentism is that, compromise. The heresy of indifferentism is that any world religion can get you to heaven. And because this has infiltrated the mind of so many modernist Catholics, we are being outdone by evangelicals right now in the Middle East. You know, there's all these like evangelical groups that are trying to convert Jews to Christ. How many Catholic organizations do you know that will publicly make videos asking for money, or even just telling you what they're doing? Not that I'm saying it's about money for these people. How many Catholic organizations do you know are in the Middle East publicly telling you they're trying to convert Muslims? They're trying to convert Jews. This is what we were doing before Vatican II. This is what Catholics were doing before Vatican II. And now it's evangelical Protestants doing it because they believe Jesus is the only way to the Father. We need to return not to evangelical beliefs. They happen to have some overlap with the true belief on that.
That's right.
We need to return to what all the apostles taught, which is Jesus is the only way to the Father.
Yes, Father. There's no salvation outside of the church, is what the church has always taught. And you're right. coming from a branch of Protestantism that was basically saying, look, unless you, you know, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's no hope for you. That idea is not spread through all Protestantism, but there is a vein of Protestantism that teaches that. But that's a truth that we seemingly lost in the Catholic Church. The focus has been mainly on this ecumenism at all costs, with at compromising or forgetting about the need that these people, that apart from the grace of God through Jesus Christ, they're going to be lost. And the idea that somehow, well, you know, they have the baptism of desire, that that's going to cover them.
Yeah, Thomas Aquinas is very specific about what baptism of desire is. One of the requirements is the person has to be not just ignorant of Christ in the Catholic Church, but invincibly ignorant of the Catholic Church. Even the new catechism includes the delineation between vincibly ignorant and invincibly ignorant, right?
Father, we're going to have to hold it right there.
All right.
Paul, we're going to have to bring a father on Thursday. We can continue this conversation. This is good.
We have to, Jess.
Yeah, this is red meat Catholicism. Father, be careful out there. We need you back here in the States, and we'll bring you back on Thursday. We'll continue this conversation. God bless you. See you next time. Up next. Who's up next, Richard? Engineer? Bishop Strickland up next. God bless you. See you next time.